CliffCentral.com. Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
Leadership Transformation Platform. I'm Adrian Groenewald, transforming towards an empowered society. And with me in the studio, as always,
Alice Miyadu
and Louis Groenewald, the old man.
They sound very excited. Must be the rain.
Beautiful rain. We need it.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it? And no stranger to the studio. He's been on many times with us before, Rich Simmons. And you'll see in a moment why we have him here. For many reasons. Rich, welcome.
Thank you.
So today, this is our three-hour leadership transformation platform. As I said, transforming towards an empowered society. And that means our first hour is all about leadership. You cannot empower a society or change a society for good without brilliant leadership. And our first half hour is going to be how to lead. I mean, last week we had a fascinating conversation around the establishment is under threat all over the world. So we'll look at that a little bit today, but expand. How do you lead when the establishment is under threat and under attack world over? So leaders really have to have a certain mindset if they want to survive and thrive and do much better than just survive in today's crazy world. It really is a crazy world we live in, but very exciting. Just we'll help you identify how should you think? What should you be like? Who should you be to be able to survive and do well? And then after 12:30, very appropriately, I think we've got Sello Hatang. He's the CEO of Nelson Mandela Foundation. We'll talk about ANSA, the Anti-Racism Network of South Africa. And there's today, in fact, they launch a Anti-Racism Week. But we also want to find out from him, what's it like leading the Nelson Mandela Foundation, our icon, and what he's learned so far. So that's going to be an interesting conversation, the second half of the leadership show or masterclass. And then we go into our business masterclass for a whole hour while we discuss a very important topic with Ms. Kumo Shongwe from USB Ed. There will be a couple of entrepreneurs sitting in the studio. They are some of the category winners of the our MEC of Economic Development in Gauteng. Lebohang Maile launched a Township Entrepreneur Award. I think this is the first year. And there are a couple of category winners, and we have some of them sitting in the studio. And we'll be engaging them in the second half of the business show. But the first half, we're discussing with Kumo the principles of determination, self-motivation, and purpose as an entrepreneur. So she's here from USB. And then, of course, we have our transformation platform. Jules Newton, CEO of Avocado Vision, is in the studio. She's been doing transformation interventions, helping corporates do it successfully for 20 years. What is the narrative? How has it changed? Look forward to that conversation. And finally, we have a great principal from Katle Hong in the studio, talking about integrating ICTs into the school at the end of the show for our Leadership and Education feature, 2:30 to 3 p.m. So stay with us. All things leadership for the next 3 hours. But the first half hour, how do you lead in a world where the establishment is under threat and being attacked from all angles? That's what will be the first half hour of our Leadership Masterclass. Stay with us.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy. We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Leadership Masterclass, our master lesson now, myself, Louis Groenewald, Alison Yandu and Rich Simmons in the studio. Right, as previously discussed, there's a global insurgence, as I said last week, against the establishment, almost any form of establishment, be it political, economic, and even social. Now, I think it's in our nature as human beings, when something malfunctions in our life, we start asking questions. We also discussed it last week, and sometimes I ask questions so that I can blame something or someone. Other times I ask questions because I want a solution. I want to find the best way of dealing with this malfunction. And this practice is projected onto a broader level inside the society we are part of. I think, broadly speaking, society is asking some deep, deep, powerful questions, mostly via social media. In business, the employee is starting to ask questions of senior management. In politics, the voter is starting to ask serious questions of their elected leaders that seem to move so slow when it comes to delivery. Now, Rhys, before we start looking a little bit more about leaders and how to deal with this, I have a few thoughts, and then we as a panel will discuss it. Do you want to add anything to the establishment? I think you would be a proponent of, yes, the establishment is under threat everywhere. Rich yep. Simmons, known as a rule breaker, change maker, influencer, so he has strong views about this. Just some thoughts?
Yeah, the establishment is definitely under threat. And I think that whether there's a new way of thinking about where the establishment's actually going, and I think that's probably the biggest problem, is that we've kept the establishment as it is for too long. But over and above that, you have a natural idea as a person to challenge the status quo, because as soon as there's too many of the collective that become part of the status quo, it's like we all feel we're getting into the same box. So you have this natural need as a person to get out of that box and to be unique, because we want to know that we're unique, we're different, and that's the only way you can be noticed. So that
plays out as well,
as well as the fact that establishment hasn't changed to the expectations of people. So, and this is the cry now. The social media has given the people the voice, and they're going and they're actually asking the question that started maybe 30, 40 years ago. Why is the establishment still as it is? Why have things not changed?
And non-performance is more visible than ever before. Expectations are communicated much wider than ever before. So more people expect the politicians, the business leaders to perform. The markets expect it, but the world is too dynamic. People can't really predict their performance. They make promises that they can't deliver. People know it clearly. They're not that ignorant anymore. So that's just a recipe for disaster. And now we have a voice as well, where people can collectively speak up and ask questions and complain and actually say what they feel and think. So that's the increase of a real challenge we have. It's placing leaders, I think, in a space that they don't know how to handle it.
Or they were never prepared for.
Never prepared for it. I don't think courses, programs, degrees, any qualification is actually preparing leaders for this incredible challenge. And the question we ask today is, what kind of leader should one be in order to more than survive in this environment of, I'll call it interconnectedness, where the follower can more than ever before in history hold the leader accountable? I tweeted this recently, and then there's something that Alice also said on our show, but this was my tweet. Know this: through social media, your followers will hold you accountable. Be real, open, and transparent. Alice, you said on this platform, I think social media presents us with an opportunity to have part of these conversations that haven't happened. But I think it would be tragic to have superficial conversations. We can't do that because it would mean we're just whipping things under the carpet. And then another guy, his name is Eric Coleman, I think that's how you say his name. He said, the power of social media is that it forces necessary change. And finally, Ian Swimmerhalder said, social media is changing the world, and we're all here witnessing it. We are, eh?
Yes.
We're actually in the middle of it, driving it in some instances. You are driving it to a large degree, Rich. You've been formally, awarded a top whatever social media influencer in the world, that sort of thing.
You definitely want to get Richard's retweet.
Yes.
It's that much valuable.
Yeah. So you're there.
Yeah. You know, so I think what you're looking at is people need a sense of belonging. So social media has given them a sense of belonging. So what are they looking for from the leader? They're looking for the leader to, because if we had a sense of belonging, we could belong to the community, the tribe. Yet the leader needs to be giving us the vision of where we're going. And whenever, you know, the failing of many leaders, that they just don't communicate the vision.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't have the vision. have the vision, but they fail to consistently communicate. And it's simple relationship stuff. Your wife or your partner does not want to hear occasionally that you love her.
Mm.
She wants to hear that you still love her.
Five times a day.
Yet the leader wants to communicate to his staff maybe once every 6 months.
What the vision is.
So where's the relationship in that? They're not hearing that consistently.
So that's what we're going to build on. Let us practically describe the new leader. What kind of leader do you need to be in this world today, where, shall we say, the establishment is being challenged? And the kind of leader that will not one moment fight the establishment, as you said last week, I think, Alice, but upon taking over, get sucked into it and become part of it then. That's what happens sometimes. Mm. Yeah, and we've seen this in our own country. The ANC, maybe, they fought the establishment. Now they're part of it. They're in the government. They're running it. They are the government. Now, the EFF is outside. Are they challenging the establishment in very radical ways? What happens if they get inside? Will they change? Or will they actually challenge the establishment? So I want us to almost put a list together. Your thoughts on the kind of philosophies, principles leaders should follow in this setting that we're talking of. For example, I'll say you have to be a real, authentic person. As a leader, my point number one is, and this is not an order of importance, I have to be a real person. I have to be very authentic. My public image almost should be who I am privately to a large degree. If I'm not, I'll be caught out. That's the kind of world we live in. So that's the one principle I would put in the pot. You gentlemen tell me, I mean, Alice, well qualified to contribute here. You've been working and reporting on... And
I've got a lot to say. I've been mulling things that Richard's been saying.
Yeah. So let's go. Louis, also, let's jump in. I know you believe in the human principle of wanting to belong. Every human being...
Can I just say a few things here? Taking us back to what Richard mentioned, you know, around social media. I think the most incredible thing that social media has made happen is that failure has now become a spectacle.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, so you now fail much more openly. But the question is, although social media is meant, like you were saying, to drive transparency, I doubt that that's the case. And accountability. I'm not seeing that much accountability, even though we live in this sort of open world. You know, take the case, for example, of what's happening in South Africa today. You know, we've got social media, but at the same time, we're still stuck with the kind of leaders that we know, you know, aren't doing what they're supposed to do.
So this is the fight against not...
So social media or no social media, there's something what I would call leadership psychosis, which sucks people who are in the leadership positions to be oblivious to what's happening beyond their little world.
Yeah.
At the same time, we spoke about the followers last week.
Yeah.
So... That psychosis sort of transcends into the followers as well, in not being able to understand how is it that they can drive the change that they want to see.
Now, Rich mentioned something very interesting. So, if social media, among other things, is creating a new sense of belonging, it's a collective belonging, I guess. How would you call that? And leaders are not catching on; they're not moving to that sense of belonging space and seeing what's happening there, because I don't want to have my own Twitter account, and I'm not going to be involved in social media.
If you have one, it's run by a robot.
It's run by a robot in many instances. So therefore, your people are starting to belong somewhere else, and you don't know what that belonging feels like and what it's expressing and where it is and what it is. Louis?
The sense or instinct to belong is tied with the other the basic two instincts, and that is the sense to possess. And I believe you can motivate all instincts that come from there. So therefore, you can be driven by the sense to belong, like a gang, for instance. But ultimately, you will want to possess something of value in that as well. And this is where leadership steps in, to make people feel they did not only belong, but also they possess true values or the fruits of the efforts.
Or and even a home, you know, property, that sense of belonging and that sense of possession.
I just want to mention, Arden, my interest in this, I'm excited about the possibilities of the new awareness of the establishment. At the same time, leadership is about you've got to go to the other, complete the loop. And the loop is you can't do anything without a structure. So you need some kind of establishment.
Yeah.
So when you go on this flare, the surge of breaking down establishment, like Selo mentioned there previously, that somebody's got to be accountable for that. Ultimately, you need some kind of establishment, even though it may not be perfect. So be careful of breaking down the establishment.
It's the kind of establishment you have and the rules that guide it. So let's look at what kind of leader must you be? What must your attitude be to be able to do well in this world? You wanted to say some more?
Yeah, look, I think the kind of leader that, you know, this time, this era needs is one who's an enabler. You know, someone who can free people to be the best that they can be. You know, think about, you know, someone leading an organization. I mean, one of the biggest nemesis in the organizational sense is the bureaucracy. You know, I want to believe that when Louis is talking about structure, he's not talking about bureaucracy, because because it doesn't work. We see organizations trying ever so often to reinvent themselves, but they forget that that reinvention has to begin with the people. So are you a leader that is an enabler, that removes the obstacles, that is fearless, you don't fear your own people and therefore feel insecure?
The principle I have here at number 9 is believe that structure serves your strategy and aspirations, the motivation, the real reason for your cause. Structure must serve that. If you serve structure, that's bureaucracy.
That's it.
Okay, and we must get structured. And so we're really coming back to basics. In our world today, we're allowing rules and regulations and structures and systems and procedures to govern. And we must be careful as leaders. That can hold you back. All right, what other kind of leadership philosophies must rule a leader's beliefs if he wants to survive in this world?
Some vital principles have been mentioned already by both Bob Rich and by Ellis. All it amounts to also is the way we respond nowadays. If we're going to mention an example, our state president has failed to respond often, quickly. Now, if you don't respond quickly, boy, it runs away with you. So before, you could respond at certain times, like wait for the State of the Nation address, etc. Not nowadays. You have to respond quickly and authentically and authoritatively. So I'm just saying, the day is past. You can wait for a certain meeting that will be held in 2 weeks' time. You have to find a way to respond. And then you must respond not by being swept along by a negative emotion out there, but respond in a positive way. That's what good leadership is about.
Okay. And that social media, Rich, so responsiveness is exceptionally important as a leader in today's world. You can't wait for the state of the nation to respond to issues.
Absolutely. I mean, and the social media gives you the ability to listen, to be involved with a community, and you actually don't even have to respond. You can be proactive in the whole thing, because that's what people are expecting from you. Is response is the weakest form of communication. To be proactive, you engaging with the people before they can do it. So that's where the leader needs to be, and that's what shows the vision, because you know where it's going. You've seen the vision. You've got the vision. It's aligned to your vision, and you communicate with that before you need to respond.
I see two categories here.
Yeah.
There are things that you cannot foresee that happens, and then you have to respond very quickly. But then if you as a leader in general can be proactive, you understand the heartbeat, and you can respond. I mean, if a crisis happens, maybe you can pick up that crisis before it actually happens. But things will happen where you need to respond very quickly, and social media can help you with that. So I do see two categories,
I agree with the crisis, but by being in your community and being a leader within your tribe, okay, you know what response is expected from you.
Yeah.
If it does come to the point of response, you understand the followers, you understand the type of communication they need, you understand the messaging that they need.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you a different leader to the person that is simply responding.
Again, if you respond without putting essence into it, authentic, then it's not response.
Yeah.
Then you're just perpetuating the emotionality of it.
But you are saying don't just respond, but you have to respond in a very mature way.
Mm.
And that mature way, if you're connected with your tribe, with your people, then it probably will be the kind of response they like. I've got your open, transparent leadership style, obviously, because that's what social media represents, openness, transparency. So if you don't have that kind of style, you will come to an end.
Well, that's true, because if you know, bringing in structure, if you're open and transparent, has a structure, and people will notice that in the way you communicate with them.
Yeah.
So they see that structure, they see the vision. I mean, if you look at the political situation, the easiest thing is to disrupt and to unsettle everything. But and that's fine, we understand that. But why at the same time are you not using that opportunity to communicate where we're going? Because we see a lot of opposition, but we don't see a lot of vision as to where they want to go.
Okay. Good point.
It's interesting that Richard uses the word disrupt, and I'm thinking more from a technological standpoint how that word has come to describe innovating, you know, challenging the status quo, bringing to bear something that hasn't been imagined before. I mean, that's what Apple is all about, right? Disruption.
Yeah.
And I think we can take that principle and use it in a more positive light as well in the context of leadership, whereby you have disruptive leaders who, again, are challenging the status quo. You know, I came up with a quote the other day that said, change is the end and the beginning. The middle is the status quo. So as a leader, which of these would you choose?
But it's interesting too, Ellis, that Apple disrupts by the vision it has.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not disruption just for its own sake. Disrupts by the quality of the vision, and has gone a long way. All good leaders do that. Nelson Mandela did the same thing, really. He disrupts things, even after a clap, by the vision. Mm. And people love a good vision.
Mm-hmm. And then I've got here, the leader would have to believe in accountability of the highest order. If I don't really believe inherently in accountability, I'm in trouble in today's system. And I mean, I must hold my people accountable, and I'm accountable to them. So there must be high on my value system as a leader, the principle of accountability, if I'm going to survive today, because the world's going to hold you accountable no matter what.
That makes sense.
I've got a deep-rooted belief that, listen carefully, that a leader is always a follower at the same time. If I don't really believe that I, as the president of the country, as the CEO of a business, as the manager of this department, doesn't matter, if I don't believe that I'm always a follower at the same time, you're never just a leader. You're always also a follower. Then I'm in trouble again today, because you've got to follow and lead. It's a very close. There's a quote that says, "There goes my people. I better follow. I'm their leader." Mm-hmm. I saw that quote somewhere, and I, for a long time, I thought, absolute nonsense. But there's some truth to that, man. Comments on that?
No, I mean, I think that's quite true. Because again, to the point that Richard was making earlier, you know, you got to be proactive. You got to be having your ear on the ground, and this is what these tools that we now have allow you to do, to follow the conversations as they happen before they become a crisis, you know, which in effect, I mean, I always believe, you know, though that is also an opportunity. Whenever there's a crisis, there's an opportunity, and don't let that crisis go to waste.
Without
build on it.
We sat with Mteto Nyati, CEO of MTN, who's active on Twitter. And he was saying to us, it's tough. People send you silly things or important things or crises, but he says he's grateful for it because then he can deal with it. But most leaders, actually, you would know, Rich, are scared of that, especially in a corporate environment. Politicians I see climbing on board, but often it's a populist thing. But they're there. I'm sure Bladen Zimani doesn't run his own account, but suddenly he's just banged onto Twitter. I send a message saying, we want to interview you, and suddenly, dead quiet.
Was that after he ran the Ask Blade campaign?
Yeah, that's kind of
which was a total mess.
It was a bit of a disaster. It's a rude awakening. Okay, Louis, sorry.
I just want to mention, you know, over the years we've had personal conversations with hundreds of quality people, especially you, and written about them, etc. If I should differentiate between them, you speak of the fact that just now, is the listening a quality of the top people? I've been amazed. Experience of veterans sit next to you and he just listens all the time. So listening is an indication of an ability to learn. You know?
Good point. Let me mention two or three others. You guys also add to the list. A leader would have to be on top of social media, the interconnectedness of our society. We mentioned that. You can't lead today unless you proactively start getting on top of that. Has to be connected to the follower constantly. We've kind of mentioned that. And social media helps with it, but there's other ways of being connected to your follower. But that's super important if you want to lead today. The leader would have to possess a leadership style that allows for open, frank, and intelligent conversations. We mentioned that last week, Louis. If I have a style where I don't allow really robust conversations, I'm in trouble today. Because again, only that kind of environment will allow me to understand how people really think. And good ideas, good suggestions that survive robust conversation and debate, you know, it merges to the top, and then you can actually implement it with fair confidence that it's going to succeed. Believe everything is up for renewal. We had a guy in the studio.
Yeah, change.
Yeah, he said, totally. Everything is up for renewal. And as a leader, you've got to believe that all the time. Anything else? I've got three or four more. Anything else you would say a leader must be aware of to lead today?
I think I've got a very important quote here by one of the most admirable people, you know, in the field of leadership, Warren Bennis. He says, "No leader sets out to be a leader. People set out to live their lives expressing themselves fully. When that expression is of value, they become leaders." So the point is not to become a leader. The point is to become yourself, to use yourself completely, all your skills, gifts, energies, in order to make your vision manifest. You must withhold nothing. You must, in sum, become the person you started out to be and to enjoy the process of becoming.
That's powerful, eh? That's the authentic part that I said earlier. If you're authentic, if you know who you are, you're real, you will survive today.
Totally.
You'll do okay. You'll do good.
Totally.
If you're not, if you're unauthentic and you're pretending to be someone you're not, well, sorry, you weren't
lost. Or you surround yourself with the yes men.
In trouble. Big trouble.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Seth Godin wrote a blog yesterday called Confident versus Arrogant.
Yeah, lovely principle.
And, you know, if you think about it, arrogant is easy. And that's where failure lies. But the interesting thing about confidence is that it's the vulnerability. So if you're looking at social media, someone else can do your social media for you. They can be arrogant for you, but they can't be vulnerable for you.
That you have to do yourself.
You have to do that yourself. Very because only point. You can do that. And it's interesting when we look at vulnerability.
That's a powerful point. That's how you kind of know whether, well, anyway, okay. You know someone is doing it themselves. But absolutely. Even someone who does it themselves, it takes incredible confidence and authenticity to be able to be vulnerable. Yeah.
And it's interesting that the vulnerability, the whole concept of that, it's the only way we get noticed. It's the only way that people will buy into your vision is when they can see you as vulnerable and real because you've exposed yourself to a certain level. But the interesting thing is that most people will never do that. So most people will never get noticed because they'll remain arrogant.
Very good point. Two or three points quickly. We're running to the end of our Leadership Master lesson. I did say believe that structure serves direction and aspirations. And to survive today or to do well, the leader would have to possess real humility, willing to learn and accept, I don't know everything, especially in today's world. You cannot for a moment think you know everything. Honestly love what he or she is doing. You know, I don't think you can succeed so well if you don't have an incredible passion for what you're doing, which I often don't find in corporate enough. You know, people are faking their way to the top to a large degree, and I think they'll be caught wanting these days. You know, you've got to love what you do, and then you added to be an enabler, Alice, freeing people to be the best they can be. I put your responsiveness, the ability to respond quickly. And proactive communication also. Anything else you want to add? Last 30 seconds.
You know, I'm just thinking now. I mean, we've all been watching the presidential campaign in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I just would put a question out there. I mean, do we see any of these attributes, at least from where we sit, you know, across the spectrum of all the folks that are running for president?
Well, unfortunately.
This become an exercise in hindsight.
Well, it's a very, very good point. I think if you're kind of semi-interested but not really, then Donald Trump is in your face still. You know what I mean? So I don't follow the other guys at all. I just now and then somehow tune into what Donald Trump is flipping doing because he's the one challenging the establishment.
And there's
but
a certain amount of vulnerability there as well.
And the arrogance,
he can act stupid.
Yeah, and get away.
But he gets away with it because there's vulnerability in that, and the crowd recognizes
arrogance.
There's also arrogance as well. But there's a mix of confidence.
Basically,
and
people
arrogance.
Don't know how to handle him. He's very interesting. All right, we've got to end it here, gentlemen. Rich, final comment. Just we have lots of conversations. You, our guest today, also on the establishment and how leaders should lead. Before we move on.
Well, I think that the biggest question that any leader should be asking himself these days is, what am I supposed to do? That's it. You know, what have I got to do for myself? What have I got to do for my followers? And constantly ask that question.
And even ask it of them if you need to.
Yeah.
Okay, very good points. Thank you so much, gentlemen. That was very interesting. And the podcast, of course, is available for anyone who wants to listen to the kind of leader you have to be today where the establishment is under threat. Next up, our leader interview is with the CEO of the Nelson Mandela Foundation, Sello Hatang. Lots to talk to him about, just what he's doing in general. But, of course, there's some developments out there. The Anti-Racism Week starting today, in fact. And there's a pledge involved there. And, of course, there's ANSA, the Anti-Racism Network South Africa. So there's lots to talk to him about, and we are grateful that he's in the studio. It was going to be telephonic, but he made the effort to come through, and we're exceptionally grateful for that. Stay tuned.
CliffCentral.com.